The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. If your energy level and health are not where they should be, tune into Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley. Our program will showcase experts from the field of energy medicine, and most importantly, we'll show you how to repattern and optimize your energy flow for optimal health and wellness. Now, here is Dr. Ann Deatley.
Have tuned into Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley, the Radiant Energy Doctor. Energy medicine is a method of working with the body's energy systems to help create balance for optimal health and wellness. And it's also a way to tap into the body's innate wisdom to heal itself. Remember, everything is energy, and energy is everywhere. Energies control how you feel, what you think, and how you live your life. Energy is all there is. The topic today is reconnective healing. Reconnective healing is a comprehensive healing approach which transcends energy healing. Reconnective healing accesses a bandwidth of vibrational frequencies that convey information to the body and mind. Reconnective healing is a more comprehensive spectrum of healing that goes beyond energy into levels of light and information. Anyone can learn to access these energies. Reconnective healing is not something we do. It's something we become. It's something we allow and help facilitate. It works by itself as well as greatly expands the results of the modalities that today's healing and healthcare practitioners are already using. Reconnective healing has been demonstrated clearly in practice as well as in scientific research. According to these researchers, reconnective healing is the forefront of information medicine with the power to transform DNA. Reconnective healing is a healing power that transcends imagination and previously conceived human ability. I am so honored and so excited to have Dr. Eric Pearl with me today to discuss his procedure of reconnective healing. Reconnective healing founder. He had a successful Los Angeles chiropractic practice when a series of bizarre occurrences led him to realize that his gift lay far beyond the realm of spinal adjustment. Patients started to report healings from cancers, epilepsy, cerebral palsy, and other severe health conditions simply when Dr. Pearl held his hands near them. Seeking to understand what was happening, Dr. Pearl consulted with leaders in science, medicine, and spirituality, discovering they did not have the answers either. Dr. Pearl's book, The Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself, is an international bestseller. Supported by Harvard, Yale, and Stanford researchers, Dr. Pearl pioneered studies on the healing frequencies running through him and their effects on people. Dr. Pearl has been featured in top media, including the Dr. Oz Show, the New York Times, and CNN, and presented at leading venues, including the United Nations and Madison Square Garden. To find more information about Dr. Pearl and his book, visit www.thereconnection.com. That's www.thereconnection.com. Welcome, Eric. How are you?
Well, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. So let's start off. I have a million questions for you. I love this book. This was really a major change for me in understanding energy or going beyond energy, which is so exciting. And we have so much we can share with the listeners. But let's start off, if you could share the unusual circumstances of your birth.
The unusual circumstances of my birth. Well, that was a little bit unusual. My mother died giving birth to me while I was still attached to her at the umbilical cord, probably still inside, and she came back to life. She had quite an unusual experience with that, which she brought back and she shared. As a matter of fact, it's the entire second chapter of the book, The Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself. It's the second chapter of The Reconnection, which was the most difficult for me to write because I had to spend a lot of time on the phone with her trying to get the words just right, because we don't really have the words here to fully convey what that experience was. She remembers lying on the table, hearing very loud engines, motor sounds. She couldn't imagine why it wasn't disturbing and distracting all the other people in the delivery room. She felt these motors and engines starting at her feet, and then it would shut off at the sole of her foot, and then at her ankle, and then it would shut off, and then at her knees, and then it would shut off. And she knew that if it got to her heart, she would die, and she did not want to die, and she struggled to hold on and to try to get people's attention, but she couldn't. And the next thing she knows, it got to her heart and she left her body. And she remembers passing through levels of beings who had left this lifetime. The first level she recalls were those who either weren't quite aware or didn't feel quite ready yet to leave. They knew that they had things to accomplish here on Earth that they have not yet been able to accomplish. And the next layer, the second level of people, she doesn't really recall. The third level, she said, was the only one that was uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable to be on that level, and it was uncomfortable for those who had to pass through that level because, well, these were the people who did the only thing that you could do. Not to cheat, per se, but to temporarily interrupt God's plan. They had taken their own lives. And they were there for an extended period of time. She does feel that they eventually do move on, but they were there for quite a while. She continued possibly through a few more levels until she finally reached the top, where she found herself drifting down a lane. The lane was lined with people who she recognized from many different lifetimes, sort of indicating the way towards a bright light. It was so bright she was afraid to look at that light at that time, but she did see flowers of colors that she had never seen before, and she eventually found herself looking at that light and realizing there was nothing to burn because there was nothing physical left. And on the way there, she began to recognize that we can see people and we recognize who they are just from one look. One look conveys volumes of information. And she started becoming imbued with the secrets of the universe, how ridiculous it is to judge people by the way they look, how we can really know someone if we allow ourselves to look past that external appearance. She continued getting closer and closer to the light. When she got there, her life was laid out before her, and she knew it was a good life, and yet there was no judgment. She knew it was a good life, and yet there was no judgment, which seems or sounds contradictory, but she explained that we will understand that when we are there, that it will make perfect sense to us at that point. And she was suddenly given more of the secrets and understandings of the universe. She suddenly knew why the sky was blue, why the earth was round, why the grass is green, how war is a temporary state of barbarism, which we will move beyond. We will transcend that point. She understood, again, so many of the secrets, how we can't blame God for seemingly horrible atrocities such as drive-by shootings or mutilations of children or all these awful things, that there actually is a larger plan and an interaction that we all have with this, having to do on some level, in a sense, with choice or agreement, but that there is a reason for everything. And when we're there, everything makes perfect sense. Mm. And she said she saw how war was a temporary state of barbarism, how absolutely ridiculous it is for young men and women to go out losing their lives, fighting the political battles of older men and women over money and land. And she knew all of these things. And then, as she was exalting in the beauty and the exquisiteness of this place, oh, by the way, one of the other insights she said is, she discovered is that there is only one thing. There is only one thing that people who transition this lifetime regret. It's that those who are left behind mourn them because they don't recognize what a beautiful place that this is. They don't realize that this is home for us. We haven't left here to go somewhere else. We have returned home. And there are old souls, there are new souls. We cycle through our lifetimes for learnings. We make these choices, these decisions. And then for all the struggling, she did not to die.
Mm.
Suddenly, she was being sent back here. And now she didn't want to leave. But she was told she had to come back to raise her son. And she knew right then and there she was being programmed to forget all of the insights that she had. And she struggled hard to hold on to these insights to bring them back. But you see, we are not supposed to have these, the full comprehensive understanding that we have there. We're not supposed to have that understanding here. We will have all those answers all too soon. We are here to learn through the seeking of the knowledge, not through the answers themselves, but through the seeking of the knowledge. And as a matter of fact, I know that at another time we're going to talk about the second book that I recently released with my co-author Fred Ponslov, which is called Solomon Speaks on Reconnecting Your Life. And even in that, book, we find that Solomon does not give information in the way of giving answers. He doesn't give us answers. The information that comes through Solomon are insights that create within us the asking of yet better questions. It's just as philosophy is about the questioning, we grow through this questioning. Mm.
So we seek it and find it out in different ways through our own experiences.
And right, but as we learn to ask deeper questions, we learn to observe at a higher level. We learn to observe and to witness without judgment. We learn to recognize and see the laws and principles of the universe in action, and our understanding grows and expands in this process.
Wow. So do you think that your birth and your mother's experience of dying has anything to do with your healing gift?
Many, many, many people do. You know, I hadn't thought about that. See, what happened was I would speak about reconnective healing to small groups of people early on in the process. And someone recorded one of the presentations that I gave and without my permission sent it to our publisher, Hay House, mm-hmm. who asked me to write the book. And I said, I don't know how to write a book. I've never been a student. I don't know how to organize or structure. And they said, we'll give you the basic formula we want you to follow. They said, make the first part of the book about your discovery of this work and your early life growing up and any incidents that might have to do with this. Make the second portion of the reconnection about the work itself, the philosophy, the principle, your science, the understandings of it. Make the third portion a basic how to do it. So I followed that format. And in writing the first portion, which I personally would have left out because this is nothing that really has to do with me, Eric Pearl, the human being, but they wanted it. And so I dug through for early situations that might have been indicators that this path was coming. And I thought, what better way or place to begin than with my birth?
Yeah, absolutely, because it was so unusual. So
now, the reality of this is that a lot of people would want to write this experience off as if it doesn't exist, especially at this time when my mother had this experience. We didn't have the wonderful authors on the subject. We didn't have the researchers, Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross or Raymond Moody or Daniel Brinkley, or today, who's most well-known in this field for his book is Eben Alexander, the medical doctor. But we didn't have that, and people would want to say, you know, it's a dream or an experience. But, you know, you don't wake up from a dream and suddenly discover that you've lost your lifelong fear of death, which is what happened to her. As a matter of fact, my mother came to, looked at the woman in the next bed, and thought to herself, oh my God, what an unattractive woman. And then she started to laugh. She said, didn't I just learn better than that? And later on, the woman told her that she came back and she was reciting the scriptures in tongues. And she doesn't know the Bible in English, and she doesn't know any languages. So it was clearly, distinctly an experience.
Wow. So your first signpost that you were different was your ability to correctly predict earthquakes in psychometry. So tell us about that.
I don't know that I'd call them a signpost of anything. I went through a short period of time, maybe a few years, where, well, it's really a longer story than we have time for in this segment. Do you want to come back to it?
Okay. We can do that. Okay, so let's break for a commercial, and we'll be right back.
Stay connected. Sign up for our newsletter. Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com.
The latest business information is made simple with the Voice America Business Network. The professionals in the business world bring you live talk radio shows featuring an array of business topics, strategies for building wealth, sales and marketing, stock trading, investing, and business technology. Voice America Business hosts are professionals in their fields and bring to the airwaves weekly business discussions that offer up-to-date information, advice, and education. The Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business talk.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Dietley. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Dietley or her guest, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to radiantenergydoctor@gmail.com. Now, back to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health.
You are back with Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Dietley. And we are talking to Dr. Eric Pearl, who has written a book called The Reconnection. And we're talking about reconnective healing. Okay, so let's talk about this gypsy fortune teller who really helped change your life.
Well, what happened was I had just ended a relationship. It was a 6-year relationship at the time before these healings began. And I had difficulty actually placing one foot in front of the other to walk from one patient to the next. And I was also having difficulty with my staff at the time. And I didn't seem to be able to feel that I could competently handle or train the ones who were there to do what needed to happen properly. So I did what you're told in practice management seminars you're supposed to do in a situation such as this. But trust me, you haven't lived until you've done it. I let everyone go at once. So I was answering the phones, making the appointments, filling out the insurance forms, stamping the envelopes, chasing the postman. This all lasted for approximately an hour. I finally realized I needed to hire someone, and I needed to hire some staff well. So I hired a professional hiring organization. We planned the day where all the applicants would come in. We opened the door in the morning, and in they came. Young, old, tall, short, experienced, inexperienced, and finally came in this woman who was both the physical and audible incarnation of Fran Drescher's character, the nanny. Everyone immediately huddled behind me and said, whatever you do, do not hire this woman, and I had to have her. She was just there wasn't even the nanny on television yet. There was no one to even compare this woman to. She was just exquisitely, phenomenally unique. And within about 2 weeks of her working for me, she said, "You know, Dr. Pearl, you've been under so much stress lately with the change in your relationship and the staff that you need to take a day off and go to the beach," which really translated into she needed to take a day off and go to the beach, and she didn't want to spend her own money on gasoline. But we went. And we went to the beach. We spent a few hours there. She wandered off. She came back. She said, "I found this woman who's reading cards, and you need to get your cards read by her." And I thought, well, all right, I don't have a problem maybe with the concept of having my cards read. It sounds kind of interestingly novel, although I'd rather go to someone who comes with a recommendation, a history of, you know, she told these things to these people and they actually occurred, not some woman trying to flag you down on your otherwise way to a good time while she's sitting there in front of a card table and folding chairs. But my little new nanny character pushed and pushed and pushed in that voice that you just would rather say yes to than have to hear it keep clawing at you. And so I went over, and the woman said she had $10 and $20 readings. I said, "I'll take a $10 reading," which is precisely what I received, a $10 reading. Nothing that stands out in my mind, nothing memorable, except at the end, she said to me, that being a healer, she looked at me and she said, "You know, being a healer," and I thought she meant me being a chiropractor. She said, "There's this work that you need and that I can do it." She said, "You see, the meridian body, the meridian lines that are in the bodies used to be part of a much more comprehensive system than they are now. They would extend off of the body, tie into the grid lines around the planet, continue out, connecting us into the other stars and the planets and the space in between. And this system, somewhere along the lines, we, humanity as a whole, became somewhat disconnected from. Some people refer to this period of disconnection as the Garden of Eden or the Fall. Other cultures refer to it in other ways. She said that our evolution continued, but at a much slower rate than that of the universe, but we've evolved far enough to slowly start to reconnect back and resync into the system. But if we wanted to expedite this, she could do a work that would hook us back up, sort of like a spiritual broadband, you know, click, you're right back in." Mm-hmm. And I asked her, I said, "That sounded interesting. How much do you want?" She said, $333. And I said, "No, thank you," because I could think of lots of things to do with $333, and giving it to a card reader on the beach wasn't on my list. So I thanked her very much. I politely got up to leave, and she scribbled something down on a piece of paper, and she said, "Here, you can read about this in a book called The Book of Knowledge, The Keys of Enoch by J.J. Hertog. It's chapter 317. It's only 8 little pages." Well, I eventually, although I didn't intend to think about this, I found it stayed on my mind and stayed on my mind, and I eventually stopped in the store to spend 10 minutes to quickly skim through that little chapter of The Keys of Enoch. Have you ever seen that book?
No, I haven't.
Well, let me tell you, there are 3 things that you cannot do with it, I suddenly discovered. You cannot quickly skim through it, you cannot read it, and you cannot comprehend it. Now, outside of that, it's a phenomenal book. The more I read, the more confused I became, the more confused, the more intrigued, the more intrigued, the more confused. I went back and forth and read and looked. I understood parts. I didn't understand others. Then I understood the parts I didn't understand. Then I didn't understand the parts I thought that I did understand. And finally, after a while, I figured it would probably just be cheaper if I paid the woman her $333 and let her do the work on me. So I showed up at her place. And she laid me down, she placed me on a massage table, dimmed the lights, put on the new age tinkly music everyone has grown to know and love, and began taking her fingertips and tracing little line patterns on my body. All the while I was lying there saying, "I cannot believe that I paid this woman $333 to do this." But I thought to myself, I might as well let go of the negative chatter and allow whatever is going to happen to happen. And as I did that, I drifted off, and by the end of the session, I realized that I had experienced absolutely nothing, except it seemed that I was the only one of the two of us in the room who thought that way. She acted as if the earth had moved, telling me to sit up slowly, to close my eyes, to get back into my body, to ground my feet. And I remember thinking, "I don't know, lady, what you think went on here, but clearly I missed this." I thanked her. I went home. But that night, about an hour after I'd fallen asleep, I awakened to a very bright light, which turned out to be just the lamp next to my bed turning itself on. For some odd reason, although I had that lamp for 10 years, it hadn't elected to turn itself on before, there it was. And I felt as if there were people in my house. So I got up with a knife, a can of pepper spray, my Doberman pincher. I went searching. I couldn't find anyone. I told myself it had to be my imagination. I went back to sleep. But that Monday when I went into the office, seven of my patients, independently of one another, began to insist that they were feeling people in the room with us just the way I was feeling people in my home. They were feeling as if they were being watched. They were feeling hands on them. They could feel my hands before I touched them as I held my hands near them. Their bodies would involuntarily jerk and move. Fingers would twitch. Muscles in their face would ripple the way water ripples when you drop a pebble into a pond, pulling at their eyebrows with their lips. Their eyes would dart back and forth when they'd open their eyes. They reported seeing colors they'd never seen, smelling flowers they had never seen. You know, pretty much in ways similar to my mother's life after death experience, where she was seeing, as she says, flowers of colors she had never seen before. But there are more colors, and we will see them. And even as we allow ourselves to hear, we can start to see some of them now. And this was the experience that these people were having, and then they started reporting healings, real healings. They were getting up out of wheelchairs, some of them. Some of them were coming in days later, showing me laboratory results where their cancer had vanished. Children with cerebral palsy or epilepsy were suddenly able to walk and run and play and speak normally, not have seizures, not require medications. My patients would call, their doctors would call, ask what I had done. I told them I didn't do anything and don't tell anybody, which went over about as big as the U.S. government just saying no to drugs. So soon everyone started coming in from everywhere saying, I'll have what she had. And the next thing I know, people started asking me to teach this. And I said, you've got to be insane. I'm standing there. I'm waving my hands in the air looking like a fool. So you go outside, wave your hands in the air. Let me know what your neighbors have to say about you. And yet, they would call me up and say, I just drove home from your office. I pulled up in front of my house, my garage door, the automatic one started to open and close by itself, or my lamp or my TV started turning itself on and off. I felt sensations in my hands. I would hold my hands by people in my family, and they would suddenly have healings. And that's when we began to recognize that once we interact with what science today refers to as the reconnective healing spectrum, once we interact with this, it changes something within us that not only allows us to access our own healings, but to bring about, to facilitate healings for others as well. And so now I travel pretty much 40 to 45 weeks a year around the world teaching people how to do this work. I've trained close to 100,000 people how to do this. The book, The Reconnection, is in between 36 to maybe even 39 languages so far. And I used to be normal. Welcome to my life.
But you're very humble about this. You know, that you were selected, right?
I guess, although don't ask me why. I mean, I wouldn't have chosen me. There was certainly one pinpoint moment when this began to come through me, and I thought it had to be coming through lots of people. So I went searching and seeking the great healers and other people in the fields, looking to see who would have insights for me. And what everyone tried to do was limit or condense the magnitude of what was coming through to fit into their preconceived beliefs. If they were in Siddha yoga or some kind of yoga, they decided to say it's working because of the Kundalini. If they worked with etheric energy fields or with chakras, then they said it was because it was getting the chakras to spin normally, and that's how it was coming through, or it was clearing out the etheric body, or, you know, people in Kabbalah tried to limit it to within the Kabbalah perspectives. And it was like, you probably don't remember this, but in the 60s there was a commercial for tomato paste, Contadina, And it was a tiny little can where they concentrated 8 tomatoes in it. And the joke was, how do you get 8 great tomatoes in an itty-bitty can? And there was a comic about it, which showed someone smashing tomatoes into a can, and tomatoes spewed all over their clothes and the wall because it wouldn't fit. Mm-hmm. And that's what they were trying to do here. They were trying to fit the reconnection into their preconceived concepts of how things work. And what we began to recognize was that this doesn't work because it stimulates the Kundalini. This is so huge that, by the way, the Kundalini is stimulated. This doesn't work because it balances chakras or clears the etheric energy body. It's that this is so huge that, by the way, the etheric energy body seems to clear in many people. The chakras come back into balance. All the things that we've known as approaches are relatively just parts, just side effects of what this reconnection seems to do for us. And I began to discover that no one had the answers. People coming through saying that they were doing the same things, very many of them, not all, but very many of them, were facilitating levels of healing. And they were all parts of what was in this tapestry. But none of them had the full tapestry. And yet, this was for one split pinpoint moment in time, because everyone else who was interacting with this was able to access the full tapestry beyond the techniques and approaches of these other people. So whether they came in with a lot of healing background or with no healing background, once they interacted with this, they all rose to this new level and this same level. And let me tell you, a lot of them were not very happy with it. A lot of them became, shall we say, spiritually pissed off, because they felt that they came in at very advanced levels and suddenly seeming beginners were able to do the same thing. But you know, it's like jumping into a brand new, beautiful, huge pool. It doesn't matter whether you swam for 40 years or have never been in a pool before. Everyone gets to enjoy the same pool at its fullness. It's that they were all coming in from relative values of judgment of how special they were in the various different levels of mastery in the healing world they had attained. And yet suddenly, everyone is able to rise to the top, because we reconnect with our fullness of spirit, of essence, of self, and who and what we are.
You know, I forgot to ask you again about the first signpost that you were able to correctly predict: earthquakes. I don't know if you want to do that quickly, because we have to do a commercial in a few minutes again.
Listen, I've had two strange things happen in my life. I put them down in the book because Hay House wanted to know if anything possibly indicated anything unusual about me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I really don't know. Yes, there was a 3 or 4 year period of time when I was able to predict earthquakes. I don't think it's such a great thing. I think we can all tune into it. There was a certain way the sky looked, a certain beauty in the sky, and I knew that there was going to be an earthquake somewhere, and I was able to predict it. Until what? Until one day someone got upset that I did it and said, stop predicting doom and gloom, and suddenly I lost that balance of being able to predict it. Could I find it again? I guess if it were important to me, but I never bothered. Yes, there was a, yes, I know that a lot of people, when they wear watches, they've got some kind of electromagnetic makeup that would break the old watches down, the old wind-up watches. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I worked a little bit opposite that. For some strange reason, starting when I was a child, I could hold a broken wind-up watch and get it to start again. And my friends would bring me their parents' broken watches and have me fix them. But does this mean anything of and by itself? I don't know. Maybe they're just different colors. Go to Baskin-Robbins, get different flavors of ice cream. I don't know that one is more special than the other. Right this moment, I'm in the mood for pistachio.
Okay, we're going to break for a commercial. We'll be right back.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market. Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community.
Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Dietley. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Dietley or her guest, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to radiantenergydoctor@gmail.com. Now, back to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health.
You are back with Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Dietley, and we are talking to Dr. Eric Pearl about the reconnection and reconnective healing. Okay, so Eric, this is so interesting and, you know, almost it's a little very strange, right? So let's tell the story about the miracle of Gary. When you actually discovered that your hands or your ability were way beyond what you had thought.
Well, what happened was I was in a one-story walk-up office as a chiropractor, which really is something that, you know, I guess if I thought that went out, having chiropractic patients have to walk up a flight of stairs might not have been in my top thinking, but that was the space that was available to me when I needed to open an office, and I loved it. And I was sitting up on that floor where there was a beautiful outdoor area. You walk up a flight of stairs and you step onto a patio, and I could see you out large glass windows before you came into my office itself. And I watched this guy struggling to get up the stairs, really struggling to get up the stairs, a young guy. He was only 26. And he walks into the office, and something inside of me immediately recognized that this was going to be important. There was something significant. This was important. This was a turning point. Now, I wasn't even fully conscious of that thought process of how I got there, but I knew it. Anyway, he came in. He had a history of, he was born with one leg shorter than the other. It was part of his birth process. At this point in time, his right leg was 4 inches shorter than his left. His right hip was pulled up 4 inches shorter than the left. For him to stand, it looked as if he pretty much had one leg because his right foot turned and rotated all the way into rest on top of his left. And for balance, he'd have to lean forward at approximately a 30-degree angle. To step, he would have to kick his left foot out and around in a semicircle and then kick his right foot back up to land on top of the left again. That was each of his steps.
Wow.
And he came in not because he had heard anything about the healings, because they had only recently begun. He came in because that manner of walking and the way his spine had been misshapen throughout his growing up years created a lot of back pain for him. And someone sent him in to me just as a chiropractor. And so he came in, he explained his back problems. I gave him an exam. I gave him a little adjustment in his neck because that's the way I would begin, just to see how the body would relax once we released the upper part of the spine, and told him to come back in 24 hours. So he came back the next day. I adjusted his neck again, and I had him lie down on his back. And I was fascinated by the way he walked and the way he moved. You know, he had x-rays showing all the things that were going on in his hips and his spine. And I held my hands near his head after I adjusted him and had him close his eyes, as I was doing with my other patients. And his eyes began to rapidly dart back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. But what really drew my attention was that when he was lying on his back, you would think that his two legs would have rolled, you know, the left leg would have rolled a little to the left and the right would have rolled a little to the right, the way legs normally roll, and the feet would have separated. But his bones were so twisted from that congenital deformity that even lying on his back, his right foot was rotated all the way in and resting on top of his left. So I walked down towards his feet, and I allowed my hands and arms to sort of fall and hang forward, so the palms of my hands were facing the soles of his feet. And I started to see his right foot move up and down in a pumping motion, the way you might pump an accelerator in an automobile. Mm-hmm. And as it began to pump up and down, it also started to rotate outward off of the left foot, then it came back on again, then it rotated outward, then it came back on again, then the pumping motion stopped with his feet in the original position right on top of left. So I walked around the right side of the table, rested my hands on the top of his right hips, and the pumping motion began with his right foot again, and it rotated outward and inward and outward and inward and then outward again off of the left foot, and it stopped in that straight normal position that most of our legs and feet would fall into. Mm-hmm. And so I waited to see what else might happen. Nothing else occurred. And I said, "Gary, I think we're finished now." I touched Gary gently on his chest to get him to open his eyes because they were still rapidly darting back and forth. Mm-hmm. He opened his eyes. He stood up for the first time in his 26 years, 6 feet tall, with two independent legs. I personally don't know which one of us was more excited. And that's when I began to recognize that something real was occurring. That was, in a sense, a beginning of some of the great phenomenal healings that started taking place. So as I started to say to you earlier, people would say, "Teach this." And I didn't know that it was teachable. But I finally decided to teach a small group of people, 25 people. I taught them how to do this. I sent them out and released them onto an unsuspecting planet. And all I got were phone calls and phone calls and phone calls because I didn't have a computer at the time. My lines became so busy, that was when I had to get a computer. And I started teaching this work. And now, as I said, I've taught close to 100,000 people around the world how to do this. I'm on the road about 45 weeks a year teaching it. As a matter of fact, if you go to the website, thereconnection.com, you can see our seminars listed all around the globe as we do this work, as we teach it everywhere. And what happens is usually the seminars are held on a Friday night for 3 hours, and then we teach all day, Saturday and Sunday. And what we'll be doing, for instance, on September 13 through 15, we'll be teaching it in Denver. For those people listening in the United States, we'll also teach it in Newport Beach, November 1 through 3, and in Toronto, November 8 through 10. What happens on the Friday night is we give a 3-hour presentation where we talk about the history, the theory, the philosophy of the work, the science. Then we bring volunteers up from the audience, give live demonstrations of the healing so you can witness the reality of this for yourself right in front of you, maybe on someone that you know or maybe even on yourself. And we give everyone an opportunity for you to feel this in your hands. But that Saturday and Sunday is very different. What we do on that Saturday and Sunday is I demonstrate a level of the work from the stage, and then we go to massage tables. So let's say, Anne, you attend the seminar. Then you'll stand at the head of one of the massage tables. Someone else who you don't know will lie down on the massage table. The teaching team and I will walk around to the tables. We'll take your hand. We will show you how to find this, how to feel it, how to access it. And you will witness right in front of your very eyes the body of the person who's lying there on the table go into involuntary movements, fingers and feet moving, arms and legs jerking. We'll show you how to feel and access a different part of it. You'll see their eyes rapidly dart back and forth or different body changes. And you will start to recognize your clear, distinct role in opening a door and shepherding, you could say, this person in to a healing space where they receive the healings that are most appropriate for them. Then we'll go back to the chairs, talk about what we learned, discuss a little more science, philosophy, question and answers, demonstrate a new level of the work, go back to the tables again, and we'll continue that way throughout Saturday and Sunday. But by the end of Sunday. By the end of that weekend Sunday, if you're there, for instance, if you're in Denver, September 13 through 15, by the end of September 15 Sunday, I can pretty much make you two promises, which are A, you will be able to do anything and everything in the way of healing that I can do, and B, you will be able to do anything and everything in the way of healing that any human being anywhere on this planet can do, no matter whether they were raised by monks in a cave in a mountaintop in Tibet and fed grains of seed, each one blessed by its own individual Dalai Lama, or whether they came from a healing lineage, or whether they created or mastered 36 different techniques in healing. It doesn't matter the story. It doesn't matter what level anyone begins with. There is a new level that we can all attain, and we can all attain equally well. And there is no one person anywhere who will be able to do this better than you.
So, Eric, what do you think is happening? Are you tapping into specific vibrational frequencies, or vibrational frequencies coming through you and through your hands? How do you explain it?
What I show you how to do, which is exactly what I'm doing, is to, A, we must let go of our techniques. Reconnective healing is not another energy healing technique. It is a way to transcend techniques. Just the way you transcend training wheels on a bicycle, you have to take the bicycle training wheels off, because after you've mastered the bicycle with training wheels, you'll never master the bicycle itself until they're removed. As we master our energy healing techniques, we do that, but we will never master healing itself until we remove or transcend the techniques. That's where the gift comes in. So the first thing we do is we learn to transcend the technique itself. Mm-hmm. Secondly, once we do that, we step into an expanded state of time. You see, what we understand from quantum physics today is that time is moving faster in all directions at once. It's opening, it's expanding, and it's allowing us to access more and deeper levels, more evolved levels of time, where actually the illusion of time and space starts to demonstrate itself as an illusion, starts to dissipate. And we move beyond the subsets of energy that our techniques give us. We move beyond the entirety of energy that we can access once we let go of the techniques, into a spectrum of energy, light, and information, aspects of light and information that many of the researchers feel have not been witnessed or seen here on the planet before. They say the level of energy alone that comes through with reconnective healing couldn't possibly be reproduced here unless we heated the space we were in, the room we were in, to over 300 degrees Celsius or close to 600 degrees Fahrenheit. And so when we access these new fields of light, it comes through at a more coherent, higher vibratory level. And the light that comes from our DNA in the human body here entrains or rises to that level, vibrates at that higher level. And as we are there, anything denser than that higher vibratory, more coherent level of light has nothing much to hold on to. Those densities, just as appropriate for the person, simply fall away. And if we take nothing else from this, take home these next two phrases or sentences, which are A, healing really is just that simple. And B, anything more complicated than that, anything, crystals, wands, crazy pyramid hats, flower this necklaces, channels of that, candles, all the different techniques, the additives that we use, anything more complicated than this is simply selling us something. And you know what it's selling us? Not just the object, not just the ritual or the protection, but it's selling us fear. It's selling us on the fear that we are less than abundantly enough.
Beautiful. Now, let's talk about reconnection. You got some messages, and we don't have time to go in how you got these messages, about reconnecting strands and strings.
Here's what happened in short form. One of my patients came in, who had been a patient for a while, disappeared before the healings began because he was out of town, came back afterwards. After I adjusted him, as he expected, he closed his eyes and relaxed. I held my hands near him, told him to let the adjustment settle in, but what he didn't expect was what happened next. His head jerked back, his eyes rolled to the top of his head, his mouth opened, air came out. in a way where you could hear it. His tongue was moving in a fashion that was clearly forming vowels. The air sound condensed itself into a voice, and the voice said, "We are here to tell you to continue doing what you are doing. What you are doing is bringing light and information onto the planet." 2 days later, it happened to three other patients. They said those first two phrases, "We're here to tell you to continue doing what you are doing, and what you're doing is bringing light and information onto the planet." Two of them added, "What you're doing is reconnecting strands." One of them said, "What you're doing is reconnecting strings." Fred, the first person, came back in and added, "What you're doing is reconnecting strings." A few days later, it happened to five other patients. Over the next 3 months, over 50 of my patients lost consciousness and channeled in six word-for-word verbatim phrases. And then it stopped coming through everyone except for the first person. We studied these phrases, which give us amazing insight into reconnective healing, but I continued gleaning more in-depth information from Fred Ponslov, the first patient, and we have just put that information together and released it into a book that came out this month by Hay House, which is called Solomon Speaks on Reconnecting Your Life.
And we are going to have another radio show on that. So is there anything you want to add at the as we have one more minute left? How reconnective healing matches the quantum physics theories?
I think the key point that we should leave with is that there is no one special healer living anywhere on this planet, but that we must step into our ability to activate what's been lying dormant within us and to allow ourselves to be the healers in our own life, in our family lives, and in our communities, for many of us to become healing practitioners as our career, to be able to live and touch as many people day in and day out with the light, the love, the information, the energy of healing. This is our purpose here, to make this discovery, to become more of what we already are.
I think that's a beautiful way to end. Thank you so much, Eric.
Thank you.
And everybody, live radiantly. Know that you are enough and you are just like everyone else, having this amazing potential. Go to one of his seminars. Live radiantly.
You've been listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Dietley. Please join us again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Thank you again for tuning in. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.